We will just go over you yesterday's Gemara Chol Gimel on the base, about 18 lines on the bottom. It says Tana Rabbanan. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're talking about his discretion and about sneis and so on. Somebody learned how to eat lechon and sudas keva. If somebody wants to go in to eat a meal, a proper meal, but you don't want to leave the meal in the middle to go out to the bathroom, is mahalach hasar upon the ideal. You should walk around 10 times dalad amis for 10 times the space of 4 amis, or dalad palming yud amis, so walk 4 times the distance of 10 amis. V'yifana, then he should go out and he should go to the bathroom. V'achikach, afterwards nichnas, he should go into this meal. And after every, the reason, 10 times or 4 times, every time he should check himself to see whether he's trying to move a stool or something, so that he should be able to sit by the meal and not have to leave in the middle. If somebody's about to eat a meal, he should remove his tefillin. Why? Because in case he gets drunk or inebriated by the meal, and only afterwards they sit down to have his meal. And this argues Rabbi Chiya. He says that you don't have to take it. No, it was the first opinion. Rabbi Yitzchak says you got to take it out before you walk into the room where the meal is, and then take it off. And Rabbi Chiya says no, you can take it off and place it on the table itself. The Hodolah is actually appropriate. Why? Because as soon as you finish your meal, it's right there ready. Remember, they used to wear tefillin all day long. Until, well, until when do you have to give the tefillin off? Until the time for benching. Tony Chodah, we learned in one place. Okay, new thing. We learned in one place. You're allowed to put the tefillin and your money in the same bag. Let's say you should use a turban on the head sometimes to wrap things in. You can wrap money, which is a davar chol, a mundane thing, together with tefillin. The tani either. What else would be learned? Lo yotzer. You should not tie. It's a bezoyin. It's insulting to the tefillin to have money there. So what's going on here? Like kasha, it's not a problem. Depends if you designated this bag to be the cover for the tefillin or not. So if, for example, you dedicate the bag to be the bag itself becomes tashmishi kedusha, becomes holy, and therefore you're not put money in there because it's a bazoin. Mashain Kain, if you didn't dedicate it, then you're not allowed to. So that's why you'll see in tefillin bags, they have a zipper and a pocket to be able to put your money for tzedakah or other things. But since the chatchila, it was always there. You ever see this new tefillin, this new big tefillin thing? They have a little zipper there to put other things in there. So then you can keep mundane. The chatchila was set aside for that. Now, we already had the sugya in the Dorim and another play in the Sanhedrin. The idea, if you dedicate something, does it already have the Kedusha? In the Dorim, we had the question about if you set aside a bathroom, does it already have a din of a bathroom, even though you never used it? Or in Sanhedrin, we have a Machlek Zabai Rava there. If you set aside clothing for a dead person, does it already have a din of clothes of a dead person or not? So the Gemara says, so how do we reconcile these two braises? How does Azman have Azman? Depends if you set it aside, it becomes, you're not allowed to put money in. If you didn't set it aside, you are allowed to. Dom Rav Chizah, high suited tefillin. This thing that you're going to wrap tefillin around. If you set it aside, the mates bait tefillin to use it as a tefillin zekel, tzor bait tefillin, it's not enough yet. If you actually use it for tefillin, then also the mates bait pshitin, you know, put money there. But Azman will like tzor bait, if you just set it aside, but you didn't use it yet, in other words, he holds Azman a lav milsi. Or tzarbei v'loy azmani, or he wrapped it up, but he did not yet set it aside. Shadi lemeitz bezuzi, doesn't have kedusha. You have to have two things. This is called he holds hazman elav milzihi. Setting aside doesn't mean anything.
What's the difference between the lashonis? He says lemeitz bepshiti, and here he says lemeitz bezuzi. It's different.
It's flat
money,
coin,
no?
Yeah, but I don't know if in halacha makes no difference. Why I don't know. Well, Abaye, Dom Razman, Mils Abaye holds that you set aside the clothing for a mace. Tachrichim already has a din of a mace. Then he holds Azman. If you set it aside, this is a zekel to be a zekel for tefillin. I forgot to let it, sorry, even though you never put tefillin in there. Then what? It's holy now, put money there. What about Sarbe? You use it for tefillin, but it wasn't a dedicated sack. E Azmane, if you set it aside, Asad. Azmane, loy. No, you need Hazman. According to Abaye, Hazman alone does it, setting it aside. And according to Rav Chizda, Hazmona doesn't do it. You need Hazmona together with actually using it. Can a person place? Remember, they wore tefillin all day long. Can a person place a tefillin for protection beneath his head when he goes to sleep? By his feet, it's an insulting to have your tefillin by your feet. Under your head, what's it in? He said to him, you're allowed to. Afilu ishta ima. Shmuel says you're allowed to, even if your wife is with you, you're allowed to put it under your head. Mesave, I'll ask you a question. So he says you're allowed to with strangers and even your own wife. And he holds, because your wife in a way is worse than strangers, even though you're used to her, is because with her you have machshavas that are not appropriate for tefillin. With others, you generally don't have these kind of machshavas. Mesave, I'll ask you a question. Lo yiniachon tefillin tachmar. Gloisav, it says you shouldn't place tefillin on your feet, but they should not even there bezoin, because it's insulting. Abba menichatach is medashay, you're allowed to place them on your head. V'im hoise ish te'ima asa. The Braisa actually says it's forbidden to have it in your bed if your wife is with you. But if the place was above three tefachim, below three tefachim, was like a separate rishus, separate domain, then mutter, you're allowed to. Tiyuv to the Shmuel, to kasha Shmuel, tiyuv to the kasha. In other words, Shmuel says that even if your wife, you're allowed to have the tefillin by your head, and the Braisa clearly says you're not allowed to. Omar Rava says, Rava, whenever we use the word, we have sometimes the word kasha. Kasha means you have a problem, but okay, life goes on. Tiyuvta means it's been repudiated. Says Rava, I forgot the ton of tiyuvta, the Shmuel. Hilchas a kavase. Allah is like him. My timer, why? Because kol l'terune tfei adif. You have to weigh up. You have to weigh up, maybe a little bit insulting. On the other hand, you're guarding it. It's next to your head. People cannot steal it. Or if mice come, you're there. You wake up. By your feet, you're not really protecting it. But by your head, you are. And protecting overrides the problem of bezoin. And we had the same. Now, how does Rava know to go against the Braisa? Because we had the same concept before about the tefillin putting it by the bathroom. Putting it down, you know, putting it by the bathroom. Don't put it on the outside because the people can steal it. Put it on the inside. It's a bezoin. But you can protect it. So we see that watching it is more important than worrying. In other words, it's as if there's no bezoin anymore because you're doing it for the benefit of the tefillin. Yeah, but by the head, on the other hand, if you have, let's say, thoughts, where are your thoughts? They're all in your head. If you have the wrong thoughts, and by your wife, you would have,
it's
not wrong, but it's thoughts.
It's only helmets of it.
Hiru koshim aveda.
It's not aveda.
It's true, but still, it's not clean thoughts.
No, that's what I'm saying. The action is.
But anyway, right
to see that it's a tyuvta and never the afal pika and halacha.
So it must be that he's relying on the braisa that we had before. It's the same discussion, but not so many words, is about what's more important. Watching, and the vort is more than that. It's not the pshat that guarding is more important than insulting it. It's that because you're guarding it, it's no longer an insult. That's the vort. Because you're doing it for the benefit of the tzul. So how am I insulting it? So anyway, where exactly do you place it? Between the pillow and the cover. In other words, you know, right there on the bench, like in Eger Oisha, but not directly underneath his head, on the side. You put it on the hat or on the box underneath your head. Oh, look at that. Baruch Shekevan. The mapig le lemorsha de kevel lebar. So what happens is that you have a big, let's say, turban or something else that wraps around the tefillin. So part of the wrapping around is underneath your head, but the part where the tefillin, the bulk of the tefillin, is sitting outside your head. So why do you have part of it on your head? Because that's how you watch it. If somebody tries to slip it out, you wake up because it's under your head. But the tefillin itself is not underneath your head. Bar kapara tzayil bekilsa. Bar kapara used to wrap it around in the drape, and then mapik lemoshein lebar, and he had the section that had it filled outside. Shisha b'ravide monuchu ashashiv. He's placed on a chair, a part of sudur line, and covered with a sudur with a handkerchief so that it was no bezayin. Amar Rav Nuna Rav Yosef zinuchad. Rav Nuna said the son of Yosef. It happened once on occasion. Ava ke'im the kamei de Rava. I sat before Rava. Of Amali, he told me, do me a favor, zeal, I see the tefillin, go bring me tefillin, vashkach, and go bring my tefillin to my house, in my bedroom. Actually, in those days, those things were bedroom. The bedroom, the kitchen, was all one room. Vashkach tinu, and I found it, ben karlik, I found it between the pillow and the mattress itself. Shaloi keneged oisha, but it was not exactly underneath where her head was. And I knew the young tefillah have. How did he know? I knew it was a damn tefillah, which means that he actually had tasha with his wife that night, and yet he had the tefillah in his bed. So why did he send me the tefillah? He couldn't get it himself. He wanted to teach us halacha l'maisa davar. He wanted to teach me halacha l'maisa that the tefillah, even with your wife, is there. The halacha is like Shmuel. And not just thoughts. Talk about actions.
That's okay.
And this is, by the way, the mocker. It says that the night of the tefillah is a mitzvah for a husband to have a relationship with his wife. This is one of the mekaders they bring. Because he knew the tefillah, therefore he knew that an activity happened. How do you know? How do you know?
That it's Yenim's wife getting his Rebbe's wife is going to meet for that night.
Maybe his Rebbe told him, whatever. But he deliberately taught us this, so we should know what to do.
Mimush, the Spitz Chassidim, that they know exactly what the Rebbe's is doing.
We had Rav Kahana in Mor Chagigah of Hay. Rav Kahana used to hide in the bedroom of Rav to learn how to behave like a from you.
He screams at him, Kahana, what are you doing?
I guess the house is tiny.
We didn't have so much stuff like we have these days.
We remember we had a Gemara that says that a mansion is 10 amas by 10 amas. A mansion is, at the beginning of this table, the end of that table there,
luxury,
and that width, which is smaller than the size of your bedroom. That's a mansion. A house is 4 amas by 4 amas. That's a house.
That's the minimum qualification. I mean, four amas because you...
A maximum of 6 or 7.
Rav Huna or Papa would have struggled to get into the house, you know.
The son of Ram Nechunya, from Rav Yehuda. Two people. So this whole Gemara now, to the very end of the page, Jenna talks about Sidis. So two people are lying under one bed. Mawu sheze yachze ponav naked. Sheze yachze ponav yikar kishma. Yachze ponav yikar kishma. Each one should turn around, only kishma. Not only by a stranger, even with your wife. Now, Shmuel holds that your wife is worse than a stranger, for the reason you said before, because your wife, you have these thoughts. Big machlekes in halacha, by the way, when we say you got to turn around to lein krishma, if it says here, zeyach zeponav. So some rishonim learn the pshatis and poskim that if I want to read krishma, I got to turn myself around, and if you want to read krishma, you got to turn around. But if I'm reading Krishna, we both don't have to turn around. It's only me. I shouldn't see you. But the others say they each have to turn around. If I want to learn Krishna, not only do I have to turn around, but you also have to turn around. You shouldn't be looking at me, because then...
Back to back.
Otherwise, the whole Krishna doesn't look right. Maskar Rabbi Yisrael has a question. It says, Ishtai, you're telling me that even a wife sounds like... It sounds like from you that another person... No problem. The wife maybe is an issue. Forget your wife. You're so accustomed to means nothing. But if you know, if you're not having these thoughts, Hashem might say, "Achal have a good foot." That's why they couldn't afford anything. They didn't have anything. So Rabbi Yosef argued. Rabbi Yosef holds no, that dafke a wife is permitted, not with anybody else. Shmuel holds everyone's permitted, even your wife. Makes a question. That's one brisa. The time that each one turns around and reads. And somebody's lying in bed, and his family's with him. You shouldn't leave Krishma. Eli Kane, who's a talib, I'm thinking my name. You shouldn't leave Krishma unless your family's between you. If your family's there, all right.
Now, if they're little children.
Yeah, little children. We'll soon see what that means. Bishlemel Rabbi Yosef says that only your wife is permitted, but anybody else is not forbidden. So then, therefore, he can reconcile the braises. The braises that says that you're allowed to read is talking about, that braises says that what you shouldn't read is talking about your wife. And the braises that says that if your children are with you, and the braises that says that that your family with you, you shouldn't read Krishma unless there's a talus. Bonav of Bnei Beisa, you have to have something between. That's talking about not your wife, because Rabbi Yosef holds that Bnei Beisa doesn't. Your household is not your wife. Your wife is not your household. Your wife is kegufa. That's you. Habish Tehabach El Shmuel. Shmuel holds that wife is included Bnei Beisa, because Shmuel kasha. Shmuel is a problem. You better any better. By the time you learned why Shmuel can have a problem with Rabbi Yosef, because I disagree with you. I hold that Bnei Beisa includes your wife, and it says the Beisa how you Yosher b'mita bana Bnei Beisa b'mita the Bnei Beisa, which was your wife. Well, you can Krishna looking how he's telling my name. So, and according to me, the way I understand Bnei Beisa includes a wife is it's a problem. You hold a Bnei Beisa, a wife is no problem. El Ma'izel Meme Ishta Rabbi Yosef Tanoim is a machlekes Tanoim. The way I understood Rabbi Yosef. Tesis says over here that Bnei Beisa definitely includes a wife. Bnei Beisa does not include a wife at all. In other words, Rashi learns Rabbi Yosef holds that Bnei Beisa, your household, is not your wife, but Shmuel holds that Bnei Beisa includes your wife. Says Tesis, we don't find anywhere that Bnei Beisa, your household, includes your wife. and therefore he has another pshat altogether. He actually has a different gifts of the ishta imay. All of my abis learns that master panu kedekish mevorah ika agavas. Even we turn around, but our backs are touching each other. Nesayel Ravuna supports Ravuna. Ravuna agavas ain behem shem erva. And you know, when we're going to learn the Gemara, you have to know it says that when you read Krishna, v'hoyah machanecha kodesh, you have to be sacred, you have to be holy. And then we have another concept that your lev shouldn't see your erva. So one is that v'hoyah machanecha kodesh, that you should be holy, you shouldn't see your erva, your eyes shouldn't see. And another thing, that your lev shouldn't see the erva. So we're going to see, when it comes to lev seeing the erva, there's a machlekes if that's an issue or not. Who cares if lev sees the erva? Maybe we do care. But when it comes to the eyes, you shouldn't see the erva. So now we're saying over here the touching, not seeing at all, because back to back, Belochayde is a problem of touching. So Zarai, the backs are not considered erva. Let me say, I bring a prayer to Avuna. Isha Yeshev, a woman can sit, and she can go cut off a piece of challah, even though she's naked, because she can cover herself in the ground. Her erva is covered.
That means doing the mitzvah,
and a bracha. Big machlekes and poskim halacha. Are we talking about another woman, another person looking at her, or herself? In other words, according to some poskim, she can stand naked and make a bracha because she never sees the erva. It's only somebody else who can see the erva. So therefore, if she's sitting in the ground, cannot see. Others don't know that even a woman, when for herself, she has to only time she can make a bracha. Other is if she's sitting in the ground, not standing. We'll see later about we'll see about Krishna and Navani. So said, "Toichibekarka has to be dug into the ground." We learned, young children you're allowed to in the same bed. What's considered young children? One opinion is when the child is once the child is ready for bia, for having tashmish, you can no longer lie in the same bed with them because they might have weak thoughts. When they reach puberty, when they're close to a girl, when 11, not but getting close to that age, or a boy at the age of 12, they're getting close to that age. And they,
if they've developed,
they're starting to develop. Yeah. Omer Avkan the Ravashi and Machlekes also well. Omer Avkan the Ravashi, Hossam Amar Rava said, "Avagav to you to the Shmuel, lichli to the Shmuel." Before we learned that even though the Brice is against Shmuel, we'll follow Shmuel. Hachamai, what about over here when it comes to Kishon with your wife and others? Omer Otu, do we say that you're allowed to lie in bed with anybody, like Shmuel said, or like Rabbi Yisuf, only to wife? Omer Le Otu Kula Bechada Machta Machta. You think we wove everything with the same thread? Heichad Yitmer Yitmer. Where we said the halacha like Shmuel, contrary to the Brisa, finds Heichad Lo Yitmer Lo Yitmer. Omer Mother Papa Sar Yitzi Bidin Mau. If you have a few hairs sticking out, from your bathing suit, I mean, are you allowed to lay Kishmer Kodele Sar Here. Who cares? Nothing. Omer Bitzchok. Now, the next Gemara is all about Sneis. And the Rashi is amazing because Tznius is a very big issue, and yet you think that Tznius should be covered. First of all, the most palatable thing is that there's no chapter Shulchan Aruch called Hilchot Tznius, even though Tznius is such an important thing. In Or Chaim, Tznius is a Siman Ayin Hey, and it's all in Ayin Dalet. It's all in Krishma. If you like to read Krishma in front of such a woman. In Simchah Aleph and Eben Ezer, it talks a little bit about Tznius over there, about what you can do and about what you can see, what you cannot see. But there's no real dedicated Simon Hilchot Tznius, which is a Pella. According to Rashi, all of these laws need only forbidden in two criteria. It has to be a married woman, which is a Pella, not a single woman, and Krishna, not a Din and Tznius, Stam, only in Krishna. Others learn that it's a din in, not just in Krishna but Stam as well. In the Rishay Big Machlekes here, and so others say even by Panuya. But Rashi continuously says age is this to tell you that this is only age of this. What's bracha do Krishna?
No, when you're doing challah, you're taking challah, you're making the bracha. No. You don't have to be fully covered.
No.
To make a bracha,
but she's covered. She doesn't see the erva.
Yeah, but I'm saying the rest of your body.
But that's not in the bracha. By Krishna, if you, for example, are not doing it the wrong way, you have to repeat Krishna again. Because you didn't read it correctly, as we'll soon see. Amr Yitzchak, tefach be isha erva. A tefach by a woman exposed is an erva. is no good. Lamai, so what are you talking about? Ilay mustak kulibay, to actually look at her. Why is it by midian over there where they brought back all the booty, the bounty? It includes, like, you know, earring and bracelets and all that together with the kumas, which is what's the word for it in English?
It's not a word for it in English.
No, like a chastity belt. It's a chastity belt, but made out of jewelry, so that they shouldn't. Yeah, which is something which is discreet. If you look with lust, you leer, and even a finger, because a ring and a bracelet are on a finger, and the tailor compares it to a kumas, to this chastity belt, to tell you that if you stare with lust at a finger where the ring was sitting, or the wrist with the what do you call it, where the bracelet was, is just as bad as if you're looking at this other part, interior parts. So what's he telling me, that you now look at a tefach? And we're talking about your wife. That means not Krishma and your wife, you're allowed to look. It's only by Krishma and your wife. What about everybody else? Even less than a tefach.
Rashi says here, the purpose of the kumas,
that's what chastity belt is.
No, but if you hang a golden thing there, that's going to attract your attention.
No, but it's a...
It blocks your vision, but it's
a chastity belt. That's what it was.
It's interesting that he says there's shaloi.
That was the purpose.
It attracts. If you make it jewelry.
Okay. And Rav Chizkiah comes along and says that the thigh by a woman is an erva. Big machleik about shoyk is. We should ruin all that. And the problem is, what's Rav Chizkiah adding? He just said that you're not allowed to look at a woman even less than a tefach. Even less than a tefach. Or finger. So what are you telling the thigh? Even less than that is forbidden. Even the finger, which is exposed. What's he coming to tell you? So, and Rashi, interesting over here, says again, ish is ish. These rules are only by a married woman, not by a single woman. So therefore, because of that, they want to say that sheik does not mean the thigh, which is how we normally translate. It means the section between the knee and the ankle. And that is why you have many a hole that you have to cover the knee between the down to the ankle as well, not just cover over the knee. So cover down to the ankle because of this reason. Others want to say that the first part is only if you do it with lust. A sheik, even a glance, even without lust, you're not allowed to look. We're talking about the thigh, but even without lust, you're not allowed to look at that part. Shanem, it says, Gali sheik, even harder. It says, if the bubble will be pulled down and will be revealed, the sheik goes across the river, and then the pasuk says, that Togel Arvoscha, that the Tegel Arvoscha, Gamtirich Apasach, that your erva will be revealed, and Yechepu, and you'll be humiliated. Okay, so we see that sheik. So that's a machlekes. How far? And that's if you understand different hagim. Oh, mashmul, mashmul. Sorry.
Is that the same pasuk, the Gali sheik and Togel Arvoscha?
No, two different pasukim, but it's one after another. Oh, mashmul, mashmul. Kol biisha erva. The sound of a voice of a woman is an erva. Shenema, as it says. Hashem says, ki kolach odav, your voice is sweet and marich nova, like a beautiful you look. And so we said there's an interesting Me'idi. The Me'idi says that women cannot read Megillah for men because Kobi Isha Erva. But no one else says that, because we say that Nashi could be Moisi men, which means that reading Megillah with Trump is not considered a Kobi Isha Erva. So Kobi Isha Erva is not just like reading with a nigan, it's more like singing a song. And according to Rashi, it's only generally the whole Gemara is talking about an Eish Ezish. So Lucheru would see by an Eish Ezish, but a talking voice may be allowed to of a married woman. Or a talking voice you're allowed to. And again, we're talking about Rashi. Said we're talking about Krishma here. Omar says Rav Sheish said before the whole thing about Krishma. Sabi Sheva, the hair of a woman is Erva Shnema. It says in Pasik. But your hair is like a flock of goats. You shouldn't have anything to do with them. Now, again, the hair of a woman is erva. We're talking the Rambam paskins bein bepnuya bein bevula. Rambam holds that even a single girl has to have her hair covered, which is obviously a big machlekes. The Bes Yosef does bring it down in Ebenezer. Mogan Ram says no, we don't paskin. So the Beis Shmuel wants to learn that it's Pnuya means a woman who's once married, now she's divorcee, or now she's a widow. The others disagree, and they learn that Magen Rambam says it's not pshat at all. The pshat is a girl should have her hair covered. Then Magen Rambam says it doesn't mean that. What it means is that Jewish girls have to wear their hair braided. Like Rashi says in Pashas Nasi, by the Saita, they unbraided her hair. A Jew has to wear, a Pnuya has to wear her hair braided. If she doesn't wear her hair braided, that's what it's called, that her hair is revealed. And anyway, yeah. The general, it talks about parts that are generally concealed. So the Radvaz Paskins, that in it's a very fluid parts of the body that generally reveal. There are certain parts the Gemara highlights here, like a shoik, a thigh. I don't care where you are, I don't care if everybody walks around, you know, reveal thighs. You're not allowed to, you know, miniskirts. You're not allowed to. That's not sneeze at all. You're not allowed to have that. But when it comes to the advice writes in the Tshuva, if you live in an Arab country where the women all cover their heads, then that becomes the din by sneeze, that if it's a part that should be covered should not be revealed.
So it's dependent on the societal.
Certain things which are not be'etzem era. Sorry? No, I just told you that. Certain things like a shaykh, hair of a head. No, it doesn't work that way.
There's a picture of a coastal. People standing
davening
in their pile of shoes. The people would approach the coastal and take the shoes off.
Why did Muslims do it? Maybe the Moroccan based on Migdash, they used to take shoes off. Maybe that's. Maybe they had some. That's today. But maybe then they thought it was like Moroccan based on Migdash. You don't know. Okay, another thing is Sar of a Goy, of a Goyish woman, even the minigas that cover the hair, is not considered Erev at all. And and the Erech HaShulchan, famous Erech HaShulchan Paskins, that today, since there are so many Yiddish women that don't cover the hair, you're allowed to read Krishna from a woman who doesn't cover her hair. Because the whole thing of Sarish Erev is a Gdeis HaKosef. And that's why the Rebbe's argument is that a woman should not, a woman could wear a sheitel, because the Magen Avraham brings you allowed to wear a sheitel of your own hair. It's an interesting thing. You're allowed to cut your own hair and turn it into a wig and wear it on your head. Because it sounds like it's exerts a cost of the holding of Sarisha Erev. And therefore, whatever it is, whatever, as long as it's not your attached hair that's exposed. That's right. See, that's how he learns in Lavush, that your own hair, make a sheitel of your own hair. Let's continue. Amar Abba Tchanin, and he says, Rebbe should hold to him, I saw Rebbe hanging his film, Mesva, I told him, it's really a chayiv, it's a hanging film, that's so disrespectful, your whole life should be hanging, those who dash in the psukim, they dash in, your life is hanging in front of you, it's a toilet, if you're hanging it film, if you're hanging it film on a peg, it's not appropriate. And you deserve to forfeit your life. Like Kasha. Hubbard, so you have it. Depends on how you hang it. If you're hanging on straps, it's forbidden. If you're hanging it on the film is on top, and your straps are hanging down, it's all right. Makes no difference which way it's hanging. There's a whole diyun in the later achreinim. If you're allowed to have your tefillin in your hand, when this is on the peg, what about in your hand? If you pick up the tefillin by the kesher and your tefillin, your shoroish, the tefillin hanging, is that what the Gemara says over here, that it's a zilzul for the tefillin? You should hold them like this with your hands. That's exactly what it's saying here. There's someone saying your hand is the same thing as a peg. Others say, no, since you're doing it to put on the tefillin, and this is the only way to get it right, it's not the bezoin. Okay. If he had it in a bag, and then he hung on a hook, on a peg, what's the big deal? Maybe you have to place it down on a flat surface. You don't have to. He burped, and he yawned, then his atish and he sneezed, the rake and he spat, and he used to play around with his clothes. He used to kill all the gnats or the mosquitoes that would come around. In Milosh Menester, but if his talus fell off, he would not put it back on. Why? Because it would be a hefsik. It would be a hefsik. But interesting, Rabbeinu Chananel says here that it's not two separate things, killing your flies or your mosquitoes or your tefillin fell off. Rabbeinu Chananel holds this one thing, and that is that they used to, from here you see that they used to have the towels covering your head. You have to have the towels covering your head, like a tefillin shmeilim. And if it fell off his head, he would put if it fell off his head, he would not put it back on. That's also, it doesn't mean you have to fall down to the ground. Others say that if a Milosh Manessa, your talus like falls off a little bit, you're allowed to put it back on. But if it falls to the ground, you wouldn't bother picking it up. You wait, till, you know, should be a hefsik. Taste says that even if it just fell off your head, it's already considered a hefsik, you wouldn't put it back on. Okay. So it's more weiter. Und schon mit Feihag, wenn sie johne, wenn ich gelass in Tore, so Tore, he should place his hand over his mouth, cover his mouth. So it's more weiter on his chin. Meis, wer am I schmier, komm ich gelass, if somebody damn was loud, had he's a mektani am on it. If somebody damn was loud, it means he has very little faith that Abishu can hear him. Ha magbiya koila bit philosophy. But if you daven very loud, hadeizan via shekel, you're worse than that. You're like a false prophet. So mashmiya koila philosophy means you're davening normal, but others can hear you. And hamagbiya koila means you're davening very loud. You're in a via shekel. Very interesting shaila, sort of Salvechik asked. J.B. Salvechik asked, and he doesn't really answer. He wants to know, if somebody's davening shmonesre, you can hear him, do you have to answer ame? You're standing next to him, or not? And he wants to conclude that because you're doing an Aveira, it's a mitzvah of Aveira, you shouldn't be answering Omer. But it's
the Aveira because it might be a Kola.
Yeah. But I guess others want to say that Mashmiya Koil is different than Magbiya Koil. Magbiya Koil is an Aveira, in the Via Sheker. Mashmiya Koil, let's say, you're davening that you can hear what you're saying. The problem is Mashmiya Koil is that you're disrupting others. That's the problem. And it's not the same kind of Aveda where you're Nevi'a Sheker, where you're a false prophet. Anyway, interesting Shaila. Oh, you're the one to be disturbed, that's right, yeah. Okay. That means that you're so arrogant. If you sneeze during davening, it's a bad sign. Because you can't help yourself. Why do you suddenly sneeze in the middle of davening? He said, that your davening is not really that accepted. However, Yeshayim, your mother say, Nikushu Mechur, that it's a raya, that you bechal, your whole disposition that you are not taking a grubayung, exactly. Hadegi told you, spat, kilo reikin emel, he's spitting in the eyes of the Abish, Mishlaim, and Megai, Mephai, Lakash, I understand. So here, saying terrible things about these four things. Before you said that Rebbe should do the Mil Shmanesse. And here's the terrible things about them. So Megai, Mephai, you know, burping or yawning, like Kashi, Kan, Lohin, Zikan, Tzani. It depends. If you can't help it, of course it's not your fault. But if you can do it, you decided to yawn, you could have controlled yourself, or burp, you could have controlled yourself, then that means you're arrogant, full of your hubris, and therefore it's a terrible thing. Elamis Atish, Amis Natish, Kasha, all sneezing is you can't help yourself, you sneeze. Miss Atish, Amis Natish, Kamal Maila, Kamal Mata, depends which part of your body you sneeze. You're giving a sneeze from above, from your nose, or from below. Below is a bad thing, from above is a good thing. This thing was taught to me by Rav Nuna, and this din is worth to me. I remember, like everything that I learned. Imagine this important thing, which din is that I'm as added with philosophy, sneeze during Shmonesse. Guys, listen to this. Simon Yofula, it's a good thing. Because when you sneeze, you feel good. After you sneeze, you feel good. Is that I, David, is happy with your davening. So he's sending you a message, he makes you sneeze in the middle of davening. So it's a good sign. And this, and Rashi said, Ramnun used to sneeze all the time. When he heard this din, that sneezing is a good thing, you made my day. It's equal to all my learning. But by davening. That's it. No, exactly. Because it comes out naturally, and he thought, he's the whole Shmanessa, he's interrupted all the time. He thought it was a terrible thing.
The gives you an itchy nose as a simon broccoli.
The Abish is sending a message that you're good. I enjoy your davening as much as you enjoy your sneezing. Ella reka re kasha, but spinning is a kasha. The Gemara reka re kasha. Efshik Rav Yehuda, maybe it's like Rav Yehuda spinning. The Amar Rav Yehuda, how you aim to fulfill your middle shmoneser. When the damel regma, if you happen to have saliva in your mouth, my believe, but at least make it absorb in your talus. Don't spit it out in front. That's nice. You take your baggage and put it in there. The im talus, no, it's a beautiful talus. You want to ruin it, my believe. But if I could say, then place it on your turban. Okay, Ravina have the Kayachai, the Ravashi was standing before behind Ravashi in his Damala Reik, and he happened to saliva. Paskilachai, he gave a spat, and it went flying behind him. Omalayla, Sovlama, Lahad Ravuda, Mavliva, because he's supposed to just take it and put it in your turban. Omalayla, no, Anina Dato, I'm a fastidious person, and I cannot have on my clothing saliva, even though it's my saliva.
Yeah, well, that's much better.
Basically, yeah. Abina Rami. Hamashmiya kreb b'tfilas b'tana mon amr avun aloysha on those yochel chavali b'belachas when we can do it quietly. Avul en yochel chavali b'belachas. If you say very quietly, you can't really have the right intentions. Muti latu v'hanim el yochan your own. But tzibur osli mitzvah tzibur. But tzibur, the problem is you're interrupting others. Big machlek is a shani. What about a shani and kippur? If you're allowed to daven loud, even, and some say you're not allowed to because you're disturbing others. Others say that since this helps you have kavana, And in Yom Kippur, everyone sort of is meichel each other, and they all want to do this. Everyone does this anyway. Rabbi Abba, interesting story. Rabbi Abba was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why? They lived in Iraq, in Bubble. He had this burning desire to make Aliyah, to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he knew that his Rebbe frowned upon it. And further, not only frowned upon it, Rabbi Yehuda said, everybody say, you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. And even Aveda, Shenemet says, "Bavola yuvol v'shamayu," that I will bring all the Kalin to Bavol, and there you will remain. Ad yoyin pug the oisim l'mashem until I bring you back. I remember you, and I bring you back. Nobody's not allowed to Bavol. Machleik is showing you whether this is a din of Bavol. According to Rashi, what is so special about Bavol? Rashi in Ksuvah says, not here, but in Ksuvah, "Shahoyu sham yeshivas harba." Bavol is a seat of learning, a place of learning. So they learn from Rashi that anywhere in the world, you live in Melbourne, Australia, the yeshivas in Melbourne, you're not allowed to make aliyah to Israel, or anywhere in the world. There's a Stoma Kalin. Stoma Kalin. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's how you know. And you must say. The Rambam learns it's only a din above. It's not a din in any other country. It's only a din above because the Pasuk says, Bavala Yavoh, Shamayu. Say it's a Kosov. The bubble, you shouldn't go to Israel. Otherwise, you'll ask all these Amoraim live in a bubble. Why didn't they eventually move to Israel? Also, life in bubble was much better for time. So they had all the Parsim who, as we remember, said, a bigger showing. So he said, I'm going to sneak out of bubble, knowing his Rebbe is against his sneak out. But before I go, I want to hear one halacha from him. My last halacha, I'll sit behind the window. This is what I have to say. Ezel the Eshemene Milsum Beis Vada. I'll go here from Beis Hamedrash. But then I'll go. Ozli went. Ashke found. Abba found the Tana, the Tonic, coming to the Tana, for the Buddha. I'm able to you standing in the Shemenesim and his Atish and his sneeze, Mamti, on the bottom. So you release gas. Mamti nacha yichla ruach. You have to wait until the gas is dispelled before you can continue davening. The choizim's problem. Ikidami, others say, I'm able to the biggest after you wanted to pass gas. Marchik la achad al damas. In Milosh Menesse, walk back four amas. Misatish, release the gas. Mamti nacha yichla ruach. The choizim's problem. And then you go ahead and continue davening. Sounds like that either some say you have to go back to the original place or you stand where you are right now. And then you say in Milosh Menesse, and Rashi says, because you interrupted anyway by passing the gas, you're allowed to, in Milosh Menesse, say the following. You create us all these offices. You know, our shaman, in our lifetime of our rim of delay will turn into worms. And you know, as you're saying here, thank you, for allowing me these offices to pass these guys. And the maschil mocks the pasuk, and continue from where you stopped. On Malay, Rabbi Abba said, the question is who's the lay? Ilu, if, everyone takes it away because he's hiding. Who's he talking to? It's enough to come here. But he didn't hear from Rabbi Yehuda. He heard it from a Talmud to learn from Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, I learned halach is good enough. Talk about me learn. No, they appreciate, you see from this, all the Gemara we had, how they appreciate even just one halach. Talk about me learn. Yashem betalisa, you were sleeping with the talus. When you you couldn't take your head out because it's so cold. Choitzes betalisa al tzavare v'kayde krishma. So you have to cover over your neck. In other words, the main problem is your eyes shouldn't see the erva. So let's say you're completely covered. Take the part of the cover, the blanket, and squeeze it against your neck so that your eyes are not seeing. Because v'hoye machanecha kodesh, that your eyes should not see your erva. The yeshayim. And you put it on your neck. If you're putting it on your neck, your heart sees the erva. Who cares? The Tana Kama says, I don't care. The yesh aimrim aliba. No, your heart also shouldn't see the erva. Big machlek is showing him who the halach is like. Like a Tana Kama, that we don't care if your heart sees the erva or not. In other words, as long as you're wearing something between your eyes and the rest of your body, it doesn't matter, the rest of your body is naked. Or you also need to make sure that your heart doesn't see the rest of the erva. You have to wear underwear or something. But Tanakama, he blows erva, suddenly blows erva mutter, he holds it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to the streets that are full of tin of many krishma. You place your hand in your mouth and it's showing that you're not smelling anything that's going around it, and then you read krishma. Oh, chizolakim, I swear. Even I heard directly from Yechid with his mouth, late Sayastin, I wouldn't listen to him. Ikidamri, Yamarabachonabishumalevis originated this thought. I swear, you're not allowed to, even though you're walking down the street, you're not standing on play, you're walking, you're not allowed in Krishma if there's tin of there. It doesn't matter what you do. And then, Shumalevi, you are allowed to. Says the Gemara, And the first version was Avuhuna name of Rabbi Yechon. So not Rabbi nor Rabbi Yechon could have said this. Umi Amar Rabbi Huna, say that. Rabbi Huna, Tamachacham Osur LeLamay Ben Mokam At Neifus. You're not standing in a place with this Tinuf Lefishi Yevshal LeLamay Belihider Teira. A Tamachacham can't stop for 1 second thinking about Teira. So he shouldn't stand in a Mokam Tinuf because he's Mahara Teira and he can't help himself. That's why they used to, Tesis brings it in time that Shmuel used to read astrology books in the bathroom and other things, so they shouldn't have to think Torah. Like Kasha. Kan ba'emika mahalach. What Rav Huna was talking about is you shouldn't stand in one place, but if you're walking through, it's not a problem. Now, okay, that's Rav Huna. What Rabbi Yechon? Did Rabbi Yechon say that? You're allowed to think Torah wherever you want. In a bathhouse, or a beis hakise, or in a beis hakise. You're not allowed to, in the basic kise, think, you know, so how can I be going to say you're allowed to say Krishma? Krishma is doch teide. Give the same answer also. Give the same answer also. Rabbi Yechon say you're not stand in one place because you think teide, but walking through, you're allowed to. And it's not so. Rabbi Vu, Rabbi Ka'azza, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi was one following Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Kukari, Krishma, Rabbi Krishma, Kimota, Mevoyez, Hatanai, Vishtik. When he came to the dirty places, he stopped. Okay, I stopped. Where should, when I, after we walk out of this place, where should I continue? If you, by Krishna we say, if you, by Krishna, you don't say that, but by Krishna, because by Krishna we say, if you wait longer, we don't care, you just continue where you started. But by Krishna, if you paused long enough that you could have said the entire Krishna, you got to start again from the beginning. So what is Yerba Yechon here? He was walking through and Yerba Yechon said, you should never, you're right, don't read Krishna. No. So how can it be that Rabbi Yechon said that you can read Krishna by when you walk through and cover your mouth? So said, you misunderstood. According to me, I have no problem. You don't have, you could have read Krishna while you're walking. Why do you have to stop? Lady Doch, you however hold like Rav Chizda that you shouldn't be reading Krishna while you're walking. The Svidalach that you hold, you hold that you're not allowed to read. Okay, I'm telling you that if you pause long enough, you got to go back to the beginning. Tanya Kavos, Tanya Chizda, we actually have a braise supporting each one. Tanya Rabbuna Mahalabu voice, if you go in the dirty street, Menichel Apiv, you put the braise hand in your mouth, you could learn Krishna. You do learn Krishna, like Rabbuna and Rabbi Yechon. And Tanya Kavos, Rav Chizda, if you read Krishna in a place with his tinnif and you shouldn't have read, let's say you were standing in one place like a Be'echon or you were walking in a corner of Chizin allowed to, and you did. So the Torah says, "Gamanina satilam chukim." I gave them laws, they didn't do it right, and mishpatim layichu, and laws that they won't live with. They pulled the string with these weak strings. They did Aveda. He insulted the words of Hashem, and therefore they say that you have to read again. And because you didn't, you shouldn't have read over there at all whatsoever. let's go. If you did stop, what is your reward? If you came to Mokim Tin, if you stopped with the word, for this, you will live a long life. Yeah, we'll stop over here.